Hey guys.
Hey guys.
We're back.
We're here. We're here to give you the dope takes on current events. Did I get it?
Yeah, you said it right. Oh my gosh. You know it now. You are doing it.
I'm here to do it.
It's on brand. We've made it a brand thing. Dope takes on current events. Black girls laughing. I don't know why I'm...
We're hyped.
Whatever this is. Roboting. I don't know.
Because we're hyped.
Anyways, super hyped. Because we're back again. I feel like it's like week 110 of us doing this like consistently. Well, let's just start off with news about next week. Probably next week we might not have a show. We got stuff going on in our lives that will make us need to not have a show. Maybe. So, yeah.
So, spend time with your mamas. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. So, spend time with your moms or the women or the men or the non-binary folks that have made an awesome impact in your life, that you look up to, that have shown you unconditional love similar to a parent or just someone you love, or just spend the day with your friends.
Yeah. Mother's Day is next week.
Woo-hoo.
With it being you saying that, you reminded me that next week is Mother's Day. Even though last week I was like scrambling on the internet, like Googling like Mother's Day 2017, because I was like, is it the first weekend or the second weekend? Because I know, because my anniversary is on Tuesday, and it was, my wedding was the day before Mother's, 2 days before Mother's Day. It was like Mother's Day weekend when it happened. So I was like, I'm getting presents for my husband. I'm getting presents. I need to get presents for my mother or my mother-in-law, my grandmother's. Like, what week is it? But yes, it's next week, not this week.
Yes. My mom will be in town to visit me. So her and I will be doing, I don't know what. I think I'm going to go to the zoo. So maybe we'll go to the zoo.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah.
This would be great. Yeah. But like I said, my anniversary, 3 years of marriage. I can't believe it's 3 years. We're like official, like we'll officially not be newlyweds anymore. We'll just be like married folk.
Like, yeah.
Which is cool. Like, I'm excited. Like, we're gonna... Yeah, it's just weird on like how much time we've spent together, and you start thinking about like that in terms of like percentage of adult years, and I'm like, oh yeah, half of my 20s was like me and Jordan. Like, that's whoa.
Crazy. Yeah.
And it's, yeah.
I mean, I was just becoming friends with you when you guys were getting married, so that's interesting to think about too.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Too bad we don't.
So yeah.
Too bad we don't remember like the date of the first time we hung out as like friends, so we could have a friendiversary.
Well, would you just like pick a time? It's like my cat's birthday. We just like picked a day. So
yeah. My cat's birthday is the day I adopted her because nobody knows.
Yeah. Like, someone told us our cat was like 6 months, and we were like, oh, that would mean it's like March. And then we were like, will it be the 13th for my birthday or the 21st for Jordan? And since Jordan loves cats way more than I love cats, it's on his birthday.
So, how was your week? We were talking about how you had a weird week, so let's chat about it.
The week has been tough. It's been a tough week of reflection on life, and trying to be a supportive mate for my husband, because he's been going through a lot with his family, because his grandfather suffered a stroke. It feels even weird to talk about it because it's been really weird to talk about it because I love Jordan's family, and but it doesn't feel like it's my truth to tell because it's not one of my blood relatives. So it's been like really tough to talk about, and also just like tough to figure out how to be supportive, how to be supportive for Jordan versus how to be supportive for the rest of the family as they're going through the loss of a significant family member. I mean, every family member is significant, but yeah. So yeah, that's been tough. I don't even know really what else to say. it's making me think about my own grandparents, because I still have four grandparents, and it's making me think about how I don't have a place, and I talked about with Jordan. It's like I don't have experience with death in my family. You know, I've had more distant relatives pass, but I haven't had like a grandparent, or even like a. And so it's just like I don't know how to be. So that's been hard.
Yeah, as someone who's experienced a lot of death in their family, as your friend, I can tell you there really is no way to be. I think I've talked about it on this podcast for the last four years. My family has lost either a family member or a really, really close family friend within the months of January and March. So every new year I've started with a really close death in my life. And part of what I'm talking about in therapy is the death of my pap, which was now at this point, I was in third grade, and I still, think about that a lot, because he was my best friend. And grief is different for everyone, obviously, but I think a lot of things, a thing that people don't talk about is, like, a lot of people feel like they don't know how to grieve. Like, what's the right way to do that? How do I do that for, like you said, other people? Because it was really interesting last year. My mom lost her very, very best friend, someone I would consider, like, call my aunt. And it's different as an adult than as a child. And though I was upset because she has been a pillar in my life, it's different when it doesn't hit you. Like, this is my mom's best friend. It's not, like, mine. And like you, this is your husband's grandfather. It's not, I mean, they are yours. You do love them. They are your family, but it's not, like you said, yours. But I know that whatever you're doing is great because you're a very supportive friend and a very supportive partner. And just as a friend who knows how empathetic you are, remember to be wary of taking on other people's feelings when you're helping others grieve.
Mm-hmm. That's a good reminder.
Which is good. I mean, God, if we could bottle some of your empathy and give it to people, we wouldn't be in half the situations we are now as a world, or we wouldn't need Anxiety Corner, but we haven't figured out how to bottle that up for everyone else yet, so I'm sure you will be a great rock for everyone this week.
Yeah, I have a fear that because I have that nature of being very empathetic and taking on a lot, and I've taken on so much, especially in like the past 10 years for me, And then a lot in the past 3 years, that I feel almost burnt out, and that I feel like I won't be able to be as empathetic as I want to be. Cause I felt that in my bones in like the past 3 months, as I'm like dealing with this, like with this transition of moving and everything that ended at the end of last year that I haven't even had time to unpack with anyone, like a professional or even myself in a notebook. So it's just like, yeah. So I'm like hella weird and nervous, dealing with this, but then also thinking about some other, like, in many ways, the loss of Jordan's grandfather is like an alarm to me of the future loss that is truly imminent. I don't even want to get all deep in that, but anyways, sorry.
No, girl, don't ever, you know me, don't ever apologize for being emotional. Again, as your friend, you can't be thinking about imminent loss, because that will drain you. I can't.
That's unproductive as hell. Like, it's so not the thing to do, but, like, it is definitely, like, it's made me want to, like, there's a shit ton of shit. Oh,
maybe you just,
I'm bad. I still haven't called my therapist yet. I just need to... I need to go talk to someone.
Yeah. Well, here we are. Again, reminder as a friend, you could talk about your feelings here, but you should also get a therapist.
No, I need to get a therapist again, so I don't have to, anyways, literally wiping away tears. Anyways, how was your week?
My week was, I don't know. I feel like my life has really been uneventful. So that's how I'm feeling. I again had a really, really rough therapy session. I don't know if it's because we're like past the intros now, so now it's just like all gonna be shit, mm-hmm. or what. I have an update too that will be part of the check it about part of our conversation and where it led this week and how it will lead into the check it and how it will lead into more conversations about me talking about some of the things I talked to you guys about on this podcast, but in a group style, which will be interesting. I had a fifth round interview, which...
Fifth?
Yeah. Round. Like, I really don't want to talk about it because it just puts me in a bad mood and I'm, like, still in a post-run high and I don't want to ruin that because that always feels good. But I did it and it's over and I'm rolling my eyes and that's it. I finally got enough energy to apply for at least one other job this week, so I suppose that's a step in the right direction against what I've been feeling for these past few weeks, which has been why bother. And then any other updates fall into the category of our other sections, so I'll save those for that. But my life is really uneventful, guys. I'm not an exciting person, sorry.
I mean, if it weren't for tragedy, my update would be like I went on a new hike, so hey.
That's exciting to me.
Yeah.
So, since we're both relatively boring, I suppose we should move on to the John.
Let's do the John!
The John! So, I'll start it off, because this beautiful photo popped up in my timeline, and I was just really excited. So if you guys don't know, which you should know if you listen to our podcast, chewing gum, which is an absolutely hysterical British comedy, stars Michaela Cole, which also, if you don't know, chewing gum is something that she wrote while she was in school. When she was in drama school, she was doing a lot of classical plays, you know, Shakespeare, Greek tragedies. If you go to school for acting or drama or anything like that, you know you run the gamut of classical and period pieces until your eyes are dry and you can't see a script anymore. And she really wanted to, you know, write or see something that had a character that was like her, of color, this awkward, funny girl. And she wrote this play called Chewing Gum Dreams, I believe was the name of it. And it was a one-woman play, and she was playing all the characters. And it then became Chewing Gum, the TV show. That was a long-winded way to introduce that you should check out Michaela Cole. Multiple of her interviews. She's won a BAFTA. She's won multiple awards. She's really inspiring because she's awkwardly funny, which resonates so well with me. But as no surprise in the acting or theater world, she can also sing. UK backer Film 4, which I don't know what that is. I think Film 4 is like the company, has released a first look image of a musical titled Been So Long, which is based on a stage production that was at the Young Vic, not the Old Vic, the Young Vic, starring Michaela Cole. Ugh, and this girl has like a low cut, some fur on, kissing this beautiful, beautiful man. Where's his name? I just lost his name. Oh. Yeah, I'm really excited. I've never heard of this show. I've never heard of this musical, but anything with Michaela Cole, I'm obviously going to jump on. Any musical with black people falling in love, I'm going to jump on. So as they release more information about it, we will share it with you. But I guess I'll read you a bit of the synopsis. Been So Long is a romance, rage, and revenge. It's neon-soaked modern-day romance set on the streets of London's musical hotbed of Camden. We follow Simone, Michaela Cole, a dedicated single mother who on a rare night on the town is charmed by a handsome yet troubled stranger, igniting old and new feelings. Set against the backdrop of an ever-changing city, Been So Long is a fresh take on love, life, and moving on. So I hope y'all enjoyed. my, I don't know, radio voice. But yeah, I guess the soundtrack is like R&B, new soul, UK dance, and then obviously orchestration. So that, I mean, I'm pulled. R&B, new soul, dance, musical, like sign me up. Where do I get a ticket? So hopefully they do something, I don't know, to stream this. So us international fans can see it too, because I love Michaela Cole. So yeah, that's exciting. I was excited to see that project and read more. I've stepped away from the world of theater, I feel like, or like learning about what's going on in theater, unless I'm talking to my friend that lives in New York and works in the world of PR. So it was exciting to see. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it. I mean, it looks like it's going to be a movie that we will definitely end up seeing, and it will make it across the pond. If it's not from UK money, Netflix will buy it and make sure that we get to have it. But yeah, I mean, it seems like they're like out there trying to shop this, you know, trying to see who's going to give it money. And I hope it gets to be in a film festival like the Toronto International Film Festival or any film festival that could come through here. You know, Philly's got its black film festival. Let's get that here. You know,
Black Star Film Festival. Let's get it. Let's get some Michaela Cole.
Right, that would be. I mean, that would be the illest.
Yeah. I would be front row.
Black people will be showing out, having a good ass time for a weekend. Oh my gosh,
popcorn in hand.
This picture that of a part of this article. I just love Michaela Cole's cheekbones. I just can never get over them. They are just like
too good.
Does she even need to contour? Because does she even need highlight? I feel like it's always glowing. It's just always just like, hey, I'm here. I am chiseled. I am chiseled like a freaking Nigerian god. Like, here I am.
I also learned that she Beyonce's her award ceremonies. And by that, I mean her mama makes her clothes.
I heard that too. Yeah.
Which is so awesome.
And they've been fierce too.
That one, I watched the BAFTAs where her dress was made of kente cloth and she hugged Idris Elba. And I was like, one, this stage has never been more beautiful in its entire existence with the two of them. But that dress with that high slit and her whole leg was out. I was like, girl, you look too good. She looked too good.
She looks complete. Like, it's so interesting how you know, actors can take on a character. Like, she's not Tracy. By no, she's like the opposite of Tracy when she is on the red carpet. She is just magic.
Just it's really
everything. Oh.
But it is really interesting, like, watching the post award interviews. Cause then you can catch glimpses of Tracy. Cause she's really short and like really awkward of just being like, her face is usually just like, yeah, I did not expect any of this either. If you think it's insane, I also think it's insane. And it's just like endless gratitude. But you can tell she's like, I don't know how to tell you guys that this shouldn't be happening, but it's happening. So I'm just going to roll with it.
But she knows how to pull out whatever her Sasha Fierce is when she is in front of all of those photographers. Yes. Because every time she just slays, just kills it from head to toe.
I'm posing.
Like, in a way that she just, I'm seeing.
But yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Michaela Cole, you got some fangirls and black girls laughing. Yay, Michaela. All right, so the next Johns we have are all a bunch of shit.
Yep, it's a bunch of shit. It's just, we always, like, I like that we always do a nice one first, and then we go into the shit. I guess I'll start off the shit. So, this is some news out of Colorado Springs. Straight out of Colorado Springs. Hot off the presses into the real world. So, Rocky Mountain Opera Theater Opera of the Rockies, whatever they're called, Opera Theater of the Rockies, they are putting on The Mikado. And The Mikado is a opera that is set in Japan, and it's gotten a lot of flack over the years for being being a you know, a Orientalist racist portrayal of Asians, and it's usually played by white people who make fun of Japan and what it means to be Oriental, quotes. Through this show. And so they're putting it on and they're rehearsing at Colorado College. And across the rehearsal hall is the production of Yellowface, which is directed by David Henry Hwang, which is written by David Henry Hwang and is going to be directed by Idris Goodwin, who is a playwright and a director, who's a professor at Colorado College. And it's all about the portrayal of Asian American identities and politics and on stage. So they're happening across the hall from each other. So, like, fodder for its own freaking play, its own, like, an ep, like, the next season of Dear White People, like, right there. So this is happening. So Idris Goodwin writes this open letter to the Opera Theater of the Rockies, like, yo, why are you doing this? Don't you understand the history of the Mikado? Don't you recognize some of the high, don't you even know about some of the high profile protests against the Mikado that happened at the Seattle Repertory Theater and in Providence, Rhode Island in 2014. Like, these are like two times that people have come out against this show, and like, maybe we don't need to do it anymore. So this open letter gets a lot of attention in Colorado Springs. A lot of people see it. The Pikes Peak region, like their arts, the Arts Alliance of like the Pikes Peak region, decides to host a forum. So we have people. So we had they ended up having a forum this past Wednesday that I attended, where they had some academics and two representatives from the opera company come and talk about why or why not, or have a dialogue about the Mikado and why we shouldn't do it or not. And it was the craziest like forum I've ever sat on. We had like five panelists, three academics, two people from the company. And the academics were very thoughtful. We had one history professor that really went into like the characterization of Orientalism in Western society, like really dug into where it comes from, the root of it. You had another professor that's a professor of music explaining like how we even have Orientalist musical tropes. Like, he really went into like the chord breakdown and the rhythm of dun 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 dun, dun, and like how that is infused into so much of music, even in the music that we love today. They will follow that same trope to signify the East or Asia or China or Japan or whatever it may be. And then they had the two people from the Rocky Mountains Opera Theater of the Rockies. First, they had the director. And the director really wanted to make sure that we understood that when it comes to casting in opera, it's all about the voice first. Can you sing the part?
No, it's not.
And we're like, oh, okay. I'm like, yeah, boy, whatever. What does that even have to do with this, about why you chose this show? How does the casting, like, they wanted us to understand the casting, because they assume that the people that have issue with it is the fact that white people are playing the Asian characters. Nah, it would still be a racist portrayal, even if you had Asian Americans go in there and play these characters of the Mikado. It would still be a problem. Like, it would not be a problem. And they just did not want to listen at all. They talked about how the racist lines have been removed. That it wouldn't, one of the other excuses is that it wouldn't be produced anymore if it was really racist.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what? And then the other one was like, the other guy, he's like, the director even like admitted to never doing any type of like research around the work that he was directing. So he was like, wow, guys, I sure have learned a lot today. Like, what? You're going to put on the Mikado and you haven't even learned about Like, you haven't even looked at the painting, the famous painting La Japonaise by Claude Monet. Like, you haven't even looked at that. Like that's just, like, you know, some basic type of research that, I mean, at least that's what I've learned about directing, that you do some research before you start making your decisions, you know, to figure out the point of view that you're going to take to this production. You do some research on the time, the period. No, none of that shit. He did none of it. And admit it to it. And then they had this, I hated this guy so much. He's like the board, like he's on the director, like on the board of directors for the opera theater. And he literally just started naming every black person that he knows for 20 minutes. He's like, this is all new to me. I've understood, like, you know, we've been talking for a long time about the representation of black people in opera for years, but this whole Asian thing is like a new discussion. And but let me talk to you about all of the black people that I know and how they've dealt with being black in opera. And I'm like, what? It was literally, I wrote down in my notes, how many black people can I name drop? This is what he's, this is like the question he's asking himself right now. And then they literally, their other big excuses were like, we're small, so don't judge us. What? No. Or other things are racist, so yeah. Like, they kept on bringing up Shakespeare. Shakespeare's racist, but we still have Shakespeare. I was like, and people are talking about why we need to do Othello anymore, or why the Merchants of Venice needs to be a thing that we produce anymore. These are discussions. You should be having these discussions before you make your art, before you decide to profit off of Orientalist caricatures of Asian people. Like, and this one woman that was on the panel, I loved her because she did not attack the Mikado at all. She never talked directly about the Mikado. She just talked about the Orientalist critique, like how people have had a critique of Orientalism for so long, and that Asian people have been fighting for you to look at them this way. Who, her biggest question was like, who do you make your art accountable to? Did you think of the Asian students that would be sharing the campus that you're producing this art on?
No.
She even said, does our existence even matter to you?
No.
And then they proceeded to name all the black people that they know. And, oh, and the fact that a black guy played an Asian guy in Philadelphia, one of his friends, and they had an issue in Philadelphia, so, of course, you guys are going to have an issue here, and, like, it's still, you know, no publicity is black publicity, we're selling a lot of tickets, thank you. Like, that was literally his, like, mic drop at the end.
So, when are they going under?
We'll see. All I know is that I am going to be seeing Yellowface next week at Colorado College and supporting the young students that were there at the forum who were very pissed at some really great questions. And unfortunately, because of how long-winded some of the panelists were, we weren't able to have the truth dialogue that we desperately needed. So we left the session unfulfilled. We had two questions presented and barely answered, and then it was over. And so I feel like the Opera Theater of the Rockies came out with feeling like a pat on the back for them that they even offered to have this conversation, and they were acting like if we didn't put on this show, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Well, you didn't facilitate the conversation, so you can't take the credit for the conversation being had. Like, if you did this and you also had a forum connected to it, and, like, why do we put this out here and had, like, a whole, you know, programming around it, and you brought in different minds, not just opera professionals to this piece, and you thought critically maybe you can get a pass. But no, you did not even do that. You got called out, and now you're going to try to take the credit for putting on something. You're saying, I put on something racist, so and we had a good conversation, so that's okay, guys. No. No, you're freaking wrong. It was just weird. And then my one of my coworker, my boss, he invited me to see this because he's friends with Idris, and his wife was the one that moderated it. And it was interesting having a conversation with him afterwards. And like, you know, he's been trying to help me cope with being in Colorado Springs. And at one point he said he had this opinion that Colorado Springs seems less racist to him than when he lived in the East Coast. And I was like, sure, you're a white man. What are you talking about? But whatever. And then he apologized for even saying that to me after sitting in that forum. So, right. So like, big ups to white people that can recognize the flaws and the things that they've said and own up to them. But that was the hopefully we'll have more conversations. That's what I'm hoping. For they said they're gonna have a part, they're gonna try to facilitate a part two, and I can't wait to see Yellowface. And and the cast of Yellowface will be seeing the Mikado, which I'm very intrigued about.
I hope they boycott in the middle of it.
That would be interesting. We'll see what happens. You know, some might be
these students don't be play
their inner Sam coming out. They watched Dear White People over the weekend, get inspired, and set it off.
Yeah, these students. Oh yeah, don't we'll play. See.
It made me want to, you know, do more things with Colorado College and see what's happening there. Just the fact that they're putting on a show that's the opposite of this. But the school's producing that, and I want to meet more of the faculty there. There's some brown faculty. I'm like, ooh, how's life for y'all here? Tell me, teach me. I'm still a noob to being brown and in the Springs.
In Colorado, yeah. Well, great way to start off the BS of this episode. Am I right?
Right? Yeah, lots of BS.
So my BS, I like to call your family is probably racist. And that is in response to, I'm linking it to one particular article that I read that graded me, but it seems to be the new trend, really. Around prom time, we see a lot of racist parents out there. Via Twitter and Facebook and text, and their own kids are screenshotting them and calling them out. So I'd fallen down this tunnel of, you know, white girls taking their black friend or their black boyfriend or whomever to prom and their parents disowning them or cutting them off or, you know, just being themselves disgusting. But then I stumbled on this article with model Ashley Graham, who I didn't know until I clicked on it, is in an quote interracial marriage. I have a lot of qualms with Ashley Graham. You can like her all you want. I don't dislike her, but in terms of plus size models, she still has a flat stomach and big boobs and a big butt, and that isn't what every plus size person looks like, but that's a different conversation for another episode. But she wrote about how, I mean, the girl grew up in Nebraska, so she didn't grow up around any black people. She admits that all she had learned about African American culture was Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, and the Underground Railroad, which, you know, can't knock her for that. That's what a lot of people learn in school, including Black people. And most of the things I learned other than that, I had to learn on my own time. I believe her mother hadn't even seen a Black person until she was 18. So then...
What?
Yeah. Yeah. So then she brought home her Black boyfriend, which when I read that, I instantly was like, oh, so Get Out? Like, literally Get Out. And she did not tell her grandparents. Grandparents of her mother, the parents of her mother, who had not seen a Black person until she was 18, that her boyfriend was Black, because she, quote, naively hoped everyone would be colorblind. Y'all.
Mm-mm.
You are not colorblind to race. That's fake. Mm. It's made up. White people made that shit up. You can be colorblind to, like, the color green, the color red. Like, sometimes you mix up, like, seafoam, you can't tell if it's actually blue or green, or you can't see purple hues, or everything looks kind of brown. That's colorblind. Colorblind, when it comes to human beings, that does not exist. Black people do not want you to be colorblind. Well, I'm not going to speak for all Black people, because we know, whatever. I don't want to hear you're colorblind. My color is a part of me and is a part of how I exist in the world. And I know everyone around me that I surround myself with also does not want you to be colorblind, because their brownness or their melanin or whatever shade they are forms their existence in this world. It is a part of them. It's what makes them them. So being colorblind is not real. It's phony. It's a lie. And also to white people who... I mean, she knew her mom had never seen a Black person until she was 18. I don't... Like, what other sign do you need to be like, yeah, I should probably, like, have a conversation with my family before I bring someone who I say I love into this environment? And then, apparently, their interaction was weird. Big shocker. But it wasn't until Justin had called her grandma to congratulate her on her 60th wedding anniversary that things began to change. And from then on out, her grandmother loved him. So when Justin proved that he was a human being doing what any grandchild or family member or human being would do, her family loved him? Like, you called grandma and she was like, oh, I guess the Negroes can remember important dates in our family's lives and know how to use a phone and have a conversation. So he's good with me now. Yep, skippity doo. So, yeah, don't do that shit. Don't. If you come from a small white town of mostly white people or only white people and your family has never actually interacted with a person of color, specifically Black person in real life, and all of a sudden you find yourself dating a person of color or a Black man or woman or just a Black person in general, don't do that. Don't naively assume that your family is colorblind when they've only seen white people their whole lives. That's not how the world works. That's all I gotta say about that.
There's been a lot of shit like this. I saw this past week this girl in Arkansas who took her, like, friend to prom and put those pictures on Instagram, and her dad texted her.
Oh, yeah.
And was like, "You're get the F out of my house. You are, like, I can't help you when you're whoring yourself to these subhuman people and all this stuff." Like, I was like, what the hell? This is terrible. Like, I'm cutting off your phone, all this stuff. I mean, but apparently the girl knew that he was racist already. Like, she knew that. She knew that she was going to get some heat for this. And she put, what I like, that she purposely put him on blast.
Some get out shit. Like, why would you send that to your date? Like, oh, I knew my dad was racist, but I took you to prom anyway because I really wanted to see his reaction. Now here's his reaction, and I want to share it with you. And oh my god, suddenly now we've gone viral? What? Why would this happen? Why? I'm so surprised. Oh my goodness. Now I have tons of followers on Twitter because I showed everyone something I already knew, which is that my dad's a racist piece of garbage. Oh my god.
They are, like, they're always so freaking surprised.
Racist? No. Yeah. So, we can move on from that trash, because I'm tired.
A killer cop got fired. Yay. A killer cop is going to be charged with murder. But we're still dealing with cops killing black children and then lying about it and then people still trying to cover up what cops have been doing. Because what's really messed up is that now that he's been fired and charged with a murder, there are media outlets that are now putting out pictures of this cop with babies, with newborns, to make him look like he's this great guy. Which I don't know who this cop is or what his record was before then, but I know all the things that we've done to black victims in the media, and to be taking time to make this cop seem like to skew the picture in this way is just ridiculous. But anyways, I'm happy that, I don't know, that it seems like movement is happening in the right way because this guy was charged. But when we get into my anxiety corner, is still on how we are still being failed by our justice system. But regardless, the Dallas County Sheriff's Department did the right thing in firing him and then charging him. And it was a shock to me to have this, especially with the other news that came out this week, and the history that we've had. But yeah, I feel like we can't not talk about Jordan Edwards and what happened. Because again, it's something that hasn't gotten a lot of attention this week because of all the other terrible things that 45 and the gang have been up to. And that is a shame, especially when you contrast it to all of the things that we've been getting upset about in the past couple of weeks. This has a different weight to it, and it's sad that it's not getting the attention that it deserves. Yeah.
Yeah, I honestly have been quietly creeping in the corner, reading about this, watching it. Excited to see the quick and swift mm-hmm. response that we have never seen yet for Jordan and justice. I'm not
charges is not a breath. Conviction. You know, we still have
in regards to him actually being charged.
And we have, you know, the long time period, you know, the time that goes between being convicted and actually having the trial and, like, you know, our collective memories. It goes away, and then justice does not end up being served because of that time gap. And our attention, our
yeah, and the time for the media to make him a good guy, and somehow Jordan a bad guy, which someone's I've yet digging. To see. But again, someone's, like, don't hold your breath.
Someone's searching through,
even though he was a child,
every one of his friends' Instagrams.
Yeah. Someone's looking for something. He got 2 D's instead of straight A's 1 year, so he,
like, you know, one joke picture with a chain on. You know, a middle finger, yeah,
or a whole middle finger
holding a water gun, you know, to,
or he was at a party, to, so, no one's ever been to a party in high school, so yeah, too aggressively being alive. You're too alive for me. Too alive.
Ooh. Let's move on. We'll check in with that crunchy life. I have gone, today is the 7th day of me not eating meat and eating a plant-based diet. It has been a tough week. Well, it hasn't been that tough in staying on a plant-based diet, but it's been hard for me to eat a healthy plant-based diet. I did not have a chance to do the meal prep that I wanted to do because I had family in town last week, and so I've been, like, sort of, like, catching up. All, like, on Monday I did, like, a mini meal prep, and I made a bunch of black bean burgers, and they've been so great over the week. And I've done some shopping, but I've also been super duper lazy and not been wanting to cook, and so things like French fries have popped up a little bit more, or instead of making, like, the full delicious meal, I've only made, like, the faux cheesy part of the meal. So, like, I've been making, like, I brought stuff to make a lot of sandwiches, and they're gonna be like veggie sandwiches that have some daya cheese to go with them, just to, like, round out the flavor. And I've been making, like, grilled cheeses with that instead of, like, putting all my veggies in it. So, shame on me, but I'm trying to make sure everything is greener this upcoming week and rawer and less, you know, all over the place. But it's been good. It hasn't been too hard to stay on a plant-based diet, which is great. I've been having some really good food. Like, today I had I've been eating a lot of veggie burgers that have a lot of, like, beans and carrots and peppers in them. And then today I had it with kimchi. So I have, like, you know, all of that good gut health from the tasty kimchi, vegan kimchi, of course. So no, like, fish sauce or anything was used to make it. Too bad, but it's still really good. It was nice, spicy, crunchy, good. I mixed it with some fries, too. So if I had fries, I had a bunch of kimchi with it. So, like, to make it, like, not the worst. You know, you gotta mix your health. Like, you're gonna eat a lot of potatoes. You're gonna eat a lot of bread when you are trying to eat a plant-based diet, but you have to just make sure you're also adding in a lot of green things, smoothies, salads, you know, having, like, if you have a, like, that burger, putting kimchi or a lot of arugula or some, like, a significant amount of greens and avocado and stuff like that. And, like, my job was even trying to trip me up this week. They had a Chipotle bar, and I did not put any carnitas, no sour cream, no cheese in my burrito bowl, and I was so proud of myself. Which it was, like, just super nice to actually have in the office, because we had, like, a bunch of beans and rice in the office for 2 days. So that was pretty ill. And then today, as we record, is the Broad Street Run. It's happening in Philly. It's over now as we're actually recording. But last year we both ran it, and I actually didn't recognize that you weren't running it this year. Like, I was like, on Friday, I was like, oh, I should probably text B and see, like, what's going on with recording, if she's going to be running it, yeah. And blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, well, no, I'm not her mama. If she's doing this, she would let me know. We'll be rescheduling, so maybe she's not doing it. And then I saw that you weren't, and then, anyways. Last year, we both ran it. Last year was my first time running the Broad Street Run.
Yeah.
It was raining. I had some issues with training. I thought I wasn't going to run it because of the rain, but I suck it up last year, and I did run the 10 miles, and it was a fun 10 miles. I had, Beyonce and Prince rooting me on the entire way down the entire 10 miles, because, like, Lemonade had come out, like, 2 weeks prior, and so, yeah, Freedom really kept me going. I'm going to keep running because a runner don't quit on herself. Over and over and over. Like, every 30 minutes I had it come on. You know? And I injured myself this past year. So there was no way for me to be able to do the Broad Street Run this year. But having it be a year and, like, has made me, like, really think about, okay, Brittany, if you're going to start running again, you actually need to make some damn goals. What are the races you're going to run? Start filling out, like, start putting that energy out there. I tried to do a little bit of research on runs that are happening in my area to, like, say I'm doing this one in time for this recording to tell you guys that, but I couldn't decide because every race has, you know, something that it's, like, connected to. And I'm like, do I want to run for this cause? Like, do I want to be a part of this party? So I'm, like, trying to find the one that I, like, that I could be, like, down. Like, I'm going to be cool with running. Like, I just have to, like, do a little research to make sure I'm cool with it. Because, you know, some of them might be low-key about something that I do not condone. So I just want to make sure I don't pick one that is doing something that I don't actually condone. But yeah, next week I will have my races for you guys and I will speak it so it will become real. So I'm going to let you guys know exactly which races on which dates in which cities that I will be running. Because I want to get back up to 10 miles because I want to be able to do Broad Street Run next year. I want to come back to Philly and do it because it was such, as it being my first, like, race as an adult, it was such a good time and I want to do it again. And I miss Philly, of course, as I always say.
I'm really bummed that I didn't get to do it, but I told myself I shouldn't spend my little bit of money that I have on such frivolous things, and
that's real. But then those shits they cost too much money. Like, people, $50, like, to do something that I already do for free. Like,
it was more than that this year too.
It was more than that.
It was like 65 or something like that.
Yeah, you can't be creeping up to hundreds.
Yeah, which is crazy because the amount of people that run it, you don't need any more money.
You just got to be one of those people that do it without a bib. So many people do it without a bib, just, like, jump in there and just be like, whatever. I don't need my picture taken at every mile marker.
No. But yeah, I'm really bummed I didn't do it because this would have been my third year and I was, you know, hoping to PR because last year I PR'd, so I was trying to PR my PR. But yeah, I can't believe it's been a year since your first Broad Street Run. That was so fun. Last year we had gotten our now former coworkers, like, almost over half the office signed up to do it, and it was really fun. Yeah. Everyone got soaked. I ripped off my trash bag that I ran in at mile marker 7, because at that point, I was just like, whatever, it's raining. My top soaked, my bottom soaked. At this point, only 3 more miles, so I'm just going to keep running. Because
I ran in themselves. That trash bag the entire time.
And the weather was pretty, I mean, I went running today, not 10 miles, but it had a nice cool breeze today, so it would have also been a very nice day to run 10 miles, because your sweat would have without a doubt dried by the end of the run.
Or it's like the first, it's like the opposite, like the first year that you did it, it was like freaking hot as hell that day.
It was hot. I don't remember it being hot as hell.
It was really warm. Like, I remember, I literally had on this outfit, and this jacket was too hot for me.
I'm also comparing it to the Philly 10K that I did last year, which is in August, and literally nothing will be hotter than that.
I don't even know why they do that. Why do they do that?
I have no idea. And I wore a tank top, and I decided this year, if I do it, I'm wearing bike shorts and a tank top, because yeah, it is hot. But yeah, I haven't run in shorts yet, so that'll be something I have to work up to, because I get terrified of the idea of chafing that bad while running. Yeah, oof. So that's why I said bike shorts, because they're longer, so hopefully that doesn't happen. But my update, I said I wanted to be steadily active. I know I talked about Whole30. I'm still working through my groceries, because again, I don't have money to throw food away. But I have been attempting to be more conscious of added sugar in the things that I eat, which is something that we should all be more conscious of, because they just pour sugar into everything. But I went back to Run Club this week with City Fit Girls, so that was nice. Sweet. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to miss it this week because I have a meeting on Wednesday, which sucks, because I'm like, I just got back. So I'll have to have you guys hold me accountable to go back the next week. But I worked out 6 of the 7 days, and Saturday I went to spin again, because nice. That class is so much fun. Good at Flywheel. I go to the weekly wrap up, which is all rap music.
Nice.
She freaking played Timbaland Elevator, which, like, where do you hear that song? You don't hear that song. So no. I was so excited. I was like, oh my god, like in the middle of my spin. And I went from last place on the torque board to 5th place in 1 week. So
dope.
That was exciting.
And so everyone does it, because, like, I used to take the class, and no one would want to be on the board. And I'd be like, come on, people. Like, it's just a class. Like, it's just a little extra motivation.
There were 2 guys and, like, 10 girls. 10 plus girls on the torque board.
Nice.
So, and a couple of the, so they do races, and a couple of, like, the first 2, I held 3rd place very strongly.
Yeah.
And then the last one, I was at 2nd, I think, because I was just like, I've been doing so well. So I'm really bummed that Flywheel's so expensive, so I can't go. I probably won't go for at least 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because $30 a class is just...
How much do you pay?
It's 28.
Holy shit. I've only done it through ClassPass, so I didn't know. Like, $28.
Yeah. It's $28 for 45 minutes. But those amenities
are nice. Torture. You better take a long-ass shower there.
So, Flywheel's amenities are... I experienced Soul Cycle first.
Oh, those are probably better.
I experienced Flywheel.
The original.
And Soul Cycle is some next level bougie. So I really don't know, like, what is higher end than Soul Cycle, but if you get any more higher end than that, I don't want to go. But I like that Flywheel isn't all white and awkward. It made, like, Soul Cycle is cool, but it made me feel awkward. And, like, I can talk to my instructor for the weekly wrap up. Like, she's really cool. Like, when I came out, she was like, I saw you killing it today. And I saw you singing, and it looked like a concert. And I was like, yeah, because I was trying to pedal my ass as fast as I could go and sing this song to hope that I didn't want to die before the end of class. Yeah. So I like Flywheel. I wish I could afford $28 a week to go to class, but I don't live that life right now. I don't know when I'll live that life.
$28 is just too much. I could, like, barely afford to do that once a month.
Because my butt will be at Spin every Saturday. So that's my crunchy life. Crunch, cool, cool. Crunch at the gym.
Awesome sauce.
Yeah. All right, you guys. This week we have a check it. Woo woo. I've been pretty good at being pretty consistent with these. Go pat on the back. Pat on the back. I had hinted at the beginning of the show about therapy and about how this past week's session was really hard and how I think maybe all of my sessions now are going to be really hard because we're past getting to know each other. I'm getting past how my therapist does therapy, which still continues to be a struggle for me. As we know, I think everything should be productive. But I feel like this past week I did a really good job at just sort of sitting in what I said and my feelings in the moment. But we brought up a lot of stuff that I talked about, but I don't know if I don't know that I've actually addressed it. So we seem to start off every session with me talking about, like, the job hunt and how it's really taxing on my emotional and mental health, which it is for everyone. And I told him, until I find a job, it's probably going to be like that, because unfortunately, I have been brainwashed into attaching some level of my self-worth to my employment, which is really unfortunate, and is something I also hope to work through, but that's the reality of what I'm living in right now. And then we got into my productivity, my idea of being productive, and how it really culminated into my high school experience. And then we started talking about my experience in high school. And then we got on the subject of, like, my confidence and how I look at myself physically. And, you know, existing as a, you know, whatever word you want to use, fat, chubby, plus size, whatever word makes you guys uncomfortable. For me, I would probably say chubby, but a chubby girl with mostly thin friends, actually, like, all, pretty much all thin friends, and recalled a lot of, you know, memories of being really, really uncomfortable despite, you know, I guess this outward popularity of being involved in a lot of things in school and being good at school and doing cheerleading and, like, all of that, but still feeling really self-conscious or still having particularly guys in school make really negative comments about my body, and how it always felt like a reminder of a place that I was in, that I guess the idea that I was less than. And then how in college I stumbled on the body positivity movement via the internet, Tumblr. That's how I got into Tumblr, was that. And how it's great and awesome, but like, how often do you actually experience that much positivity or that many people talking about bodies and how we exist in them and being fat positive and body positivity in real life? I mean, that's something that is really awesome on the internet, that's still really big and continues to grow and is great and has gotten more publicity and more plus size lines and more clothing lines to fit all body shapes. But like, when are we actually like looking at each other and talking about this and saying these words as opposed to typing them, which are really hard to say for some people, sometimes really hard to say for me. So I this week am starting group therapy for a fat positivity group. It had taken me, I had saw the flyer for it when I first started therapy, but I questioned the space that I would be taking up in that group. In, I guess, Tumblr terminology is the word I'm going to use, but I'm considered a small fat. Like, I recognize that I can still go into Macy's or H&M or Forever 21 and find clothes. I have yet to experience the atrocity that is the healthcare system really just being absolute shit to fat bodies or bigger bodies, or, you know, haven't outwardly experienced someone looking at me and determining whether or not I'm healthy, at least not to my face. Behind my back is another story. But I did spend a lot of my childhood being picked on for my size. So that is something I have experienced. I'm not conventionally thin, so that is a world I do experience. And I have been in an instance where I couldn't find clothes or didn't want to because I was no longer in the junior section. Oh, gosh, as a teenager. I had to move up to adult or plus size, which is a really frustrating and, for me, embarrassing experience as a young girl. And a lot of this does affect how I see myself. It does affect, like, I know that I stopped being active because I set this goal of losing weight and thinking that losing a specific amount of weight will make me a happier person, instead of the basis of why I'm active, which is it feels really, makes my brain feel really good. So trying to break that cycle of doing that, because then it affects me not being active anymore, and suddenly I'm not, because I'm not seeing the scale move and how I shouldn't be stepping on the scale in the first place, because that's not why I'm doing what I'm doing. So I will be sitting down with a group of people talking about this in real life, and I'm excited and nervous. I talk a lot, and part of me doesn't want to talk a lot, but I don't know how to not do that. And I mean, I've been rambling to you guys now on this check it for a few minutes because clearly I have a lot to say and need to keep saying it out loud and need to keep writing about it. So I'm interested to see what it's like in a group setting. But yeah, and I'll let you guys know how it is. Maybe group therapy is something for you because you don't like the idea of the intimacy of the one-on-one therapy experience, which I know for some people who have issues in intimacy, that might not work for them, and that's absolutely fine. And I also don't know anyone who's ever gone to group therapy or has been vocal about their experience going into group therapy. So I'm really excited to talk about this, and hopefully someone either that listens all the time or will come in and start listening to Black Girls Laughing because I'm talking about my experience in group therapy and they get something from that. So that's my, again, as always, long-winded ramble.
It's not long-winded. By no means. Oh, well, yeah, I'm excited to hear about your experience in this type of group therapy. I know I've never taken group therapy before. The only people that I know, yeah. Yeah, I'm really intrigued because I know that I feel like, especially thinking about body positivity, I feel like it's a good space, that's a good space to do in a group. that's a good subject to talk about in a group, so you can at least relate and recognize that some of the thoughts that you might have about yourself, that you're not alone in that type of thinking, and to work as a group to talk about how to work against that type of thinking, will be very beneficial for you. And yeah, I'm just sitting here thinking about, like, you talking about you being so honest and being able to name the fact that you're able to call yourself chubby is, like, really, I know it's, like, extremely hard for me to even do. And so, like, I've just been sitting here and thinking about, like, yeah, I'm someone that has never called myself fat. even though I shop at, you know, I use things that are for plus size women consistently. I've always euphemized it through talking about the largeness of my breasts or my butt as a way of not talking about my own issues with my body. And so that's something that was just sort of like, I don't know, just to be able to have the confidence to say what. Yeah, I don't even know a good way to articulate it, because I'm not. That's something that I purposely avoid in my life all the time. Like, purposely avoid it. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, it's hard. And it's interesting when I think about it now, and like you talking about that. I use the word chubby now, but I've only ever called myself fat from, like, age 8. Mm-hmm. Like, I started calling myself fat. And then I still question if I suffer from some forms of body dysmorphia. Because I've always thought I was bigger than I actually am. Like, it's been a constant and consistent thought. And my mother used to point it out to me all the time. Like, she's like, I don't know where you think, like, what size you think you are. But again, it might not be body dysmorphia. It might just be in relation to the people that I was surrounding myself with.
Society and how they name things. Yeah. Like, when the size 2 has been pushed as being the norm, when even if it's not, like, even when you can look around and see that that's not the norm, it can still.
Or when clothing companies change their sizes. I went to Buffalo Exchange the other week, and I tried on a pair of American Eagle jean shorts that were size 12, which is the size that I've always worn at American Eagle. I had, like, dressers full of those jeans. That's mm-hmm. where I got my jeans. That's where my brother got his jeans. That's where my dad started getting his jeans, because we would all get our jeans from there. And we had, like, the frequent shopper card and would get coupons. And they lasted a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I could not get these jeans over my thighs.
Yeah, I mean, they do change their sizing.
And I was like, what are you telling people? Like, what is happening? If anything, I actually am a pant size-wise smaller than I was in college and high school. I was so frustrated. I was like, what? How do I fit in a Levi's 12, which always runs small? Levi's have always run smaller. That's just how their jeans are. But I can't fit in an American Eagle. Anyway, there's so many things that play with your brain. And I've been unfortunately brainwashed into thinking mostly negative things. So it's a never-ending process of unlearning.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all get to hear all about it. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Cool.
Let's go check it. Dun dun dun. Time for Anxiety Corner. Anxiety Corner. All right, y'all. We've talked that crunchy life and we've checked it. Now we're going to get a little anxious, get a little flustered, give ourselves 2 minutes to freak the hell out, and then move on. So, Brittany is going to kick it off in 3, 2, 1, go.
So, the other day I was on Twitter, and the AP had put out an article saying that 2 white officers will not face federal charges in the fatal shooting of a black man last year in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. What was so pissed me off the most is that they didn't say his name. His name is Alton B. Sterling, and he's not just some black man. He is Alton B. Sterling. Can we name the people? Name the people who we have lost. This is directly from Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, Foghorn Leghorn of the Attorney General, who wants to make America Alabama again. Yeah, it's just, it's, you know, you had 8 years of a Justice Department that was really trying, was just at least trying to do something, even though it's a system that is made for white supremacy. And so right now what happened is exactly how the system was built and made to be. But, you know, with, you know, the people that were in the Justice Department before, with the Obama administration, we were fighting for something different and trying to at least hold some people accountable for their actions. And we're not going to see that as we keep 45 here. And this is just a big reminder of that reversal of the erasure of the progress, and that we are going to keep on pulling back this clock. And we all know what else happened this week, and thinking about all the people that are going to die in the next couple of years, and seeing the transfer of power. Yeah, it's just, bah.
I'm always glad this Anxiety Corner only lasts 2 minutes each. All right, I guess it's my turn.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the Republicans' scheme to kill off everyone, everywhere, specifically the poor, people of color, trans people, non-binary, etc., etc. The marginalized. I don't know. People don't like that term, but that's what I'm going to use. Because we exist in the margins, according to the Republicans. They have officially repealed Obamacare. Or the Affordable Care Act. Seems how in a lot of people's worlds, those were two different things. And now you can be denied coverage for pre-existing conditions, which has been, you know, a thing that people haven't wanted to talk about, but has existed. But when you look at even just a partial list of pre-existing conditions, you realize that you fall into... A lot of people are finally realizing that they fall into the margins that a lot of us have existed in since we were born. Realizing things that like being pregnant, having acne, having anxiety, depression, having menstrual irregularities, obesity, you know, now transsexualism, sleep apnea, a lot of things that are just being alive are now considered pre-existing conditions. So 24 million people will be without healthcare now. Most living, breathing human beings will exist with pre-existing conditions, so now them being rejected will be on the table. And we're all gonna die.
Yeah, we're all gonna die, so the 2% can get a tax break. That the passage of that was the biggest transfer of wealth from poor to rich in the recent recent history. It's just disgusting. And now the one thing I want everyone to remember is that you 53% of white women that voted for him, this is your fault. And yep. This stays your fault, every single thing. And then also all of you that decided not to vote for Hillary because you saw her as just the lesser of two evils, this is the evil that you've asked for yourself.
Yep. And now we all have to live with it because you're selfish, awful human beings.
Because you thought it wasn't going to affect you. But now it is. Now it is. Because I don't know anyone who doesn't have a family member that is going to be affected by this if it's not going to be themselves.
I mean, cancer. I mean, menstrual irregularities.
Mental health care in general. Like,
I mean, mental health is always been a struggle.
With the Affordable Care Act, it gave some relief. But you know, if we want to continue to have the treatment, I mean, you know, let's also call out what's going on too in terms of the political system of it. They passed this, but it's not a done deal. It has to pass the Senate still. The Senate literally is starting all over. So we'll see what they bring to the table and what this bill will turn into. They're still speaking lies and deceit about it. These motherfuckers didn't even read it, which is like the thing that was really upsetting to me, is that you know that it's so evil that you're not even going to take the time to read it, because then you'll feel more accountable to the pain that you are putting on the middle and poorest people in the United States. But whatever. But hey.
Yeah, I'm interested.
Everyone, make sure you remember. Remember this come 2018, when it's time to vote in midterm elections. You can see the list of people that voted for this. And you know what to do.
Yes. Oh, I forgot to add that asthma is a pre-existing condition, which is really interesting, as I was just diagnosed this past summer with allergy-induced asthma. And already have to get a inhaler that on my former employer's health insurance cost me over $200. And thankfully, I'm not 26 yet, so I could use my mother's insurance that she has kept me on as secondary insurance to make it only cost $20. So I'm, you know, interested to see how much this inhaler is going to cost, because apparently I'm not even allowed to breathe oxygen for free. I have to pay to be able to breathe. So it's fun. I'm literally a walking list of pre-existing conditions that, frankly, I did not ask for. You know, I have good cholesterol. I don't have diabetes. But, you know, even people that do have high cholesterol and diabetes deserve to be able to take care of themselves. But
yeah, as the I people said, that have these sicknesses, like high cholesterol and diabetes, because of the food that they cannot afford, because of
the cycle,
the effed up system that we live under.
We should move on, please.
But as
I said in the beginning, if only we could bottle up some of Brittany's empathy and give it to the rest of the world. All right. Do you got a throwback jam this week?
I had the throwback jam last week.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. Last week it was throwback in the club.
Wasn't last week in Vogue?
No, last week was In the Club by 50 Cent.
Oh.
That was mine.
I don't have a throwback jam, so I guess we're skipping over it. I got my weeks mixed up in my brain, probably because I listened to our episodes backwards.
That's probably how you did it. Yeah. That's how you get it confused.
I have not listened to any them in any sequence. And frankly, sometimes I skip over parts because I hate hearing the sound of my own voice. And I wonder why people listen, because I don't
know. Oh my gosh. Let's not even go down that fucking rabbit hole. I sit there and I listen to it while Jordan is editing it. So I get to hear my voice like over and over again at parts, and hear some of like the gross stuff that gets cut out, and then I'm always just sitting there like, I'm just so fucking stupid. Why is anyone even listening to this goddamn thing? Like, people think this is entertainment. Cool, awesome, but anyways,
yeah.
Giggle cackle roar. Let's do the giggles. Let's do them cackles.
Let's do the roars. So, I have a giggle. And my giggle will tweet out... We'll have to tweet out the link, because you're not going to have any idea what I'm talking about until you watch this video. But this video I've watched 5 times today, because it's literally the cutest thing. It makes your heart melt. Even if you don't want kids, you suddenly question why you don't want kids, because you want to be able to do this. But it was shared by this woman, Carrie Robinson, and it's gone pretty viral. It's her with her 1-year-old, and her 1-year-old is like trying to brush mommy's hair, which is adorable. But you know how you go to the salon, you talk with your hairdresser about life, or you gossip, or blah, 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 as you do. Well, in this video, Carrie is, like, quote, gossiping with her 1-year-old, and her 1-year-old is, like, mimicking her, or saying, like, at the correct moments when she's, like, girl, he tripping. And the 1-year-old's like, he tripping? And mm-hmm. your heart. This baby is so cute. She's trying so hard to brush mom's hair. She's having a good conversation. She even says, like, and then what happened? And it's so adorable and, like, the burst of, like, happiness that everyone needs in their life. Because it's so, so cute. It's so cute. And, we'll have to share it with you guys so you can laugh with it, too. Hopefully you, I don't know, maybe you see it before you listen to us. But if not, it will be the perk to your Thursday you need to get you through the rest of the day into Friday, into the weekend, because it's so adorable. And I laugh the whole time because it's just so cute. It's so cute.
I'm watching it right now and it's so adorable. Aww. Just really trying to brush. But then also trying to be on camera too. Like trying to look at the camera. Such a cute
like, fun. And then what happened? Oh, yeah. Like, oh, my heart. So cute.
So that's wow, that baby's so giggle. Verbal, too, to only be one.
Right? So smart. So smart. Like, about to be up here ruling the world using her words for something.
Good baby. Cool. So I have like a cackle or sort of like a roar. It's a mixture, a little bit of a giggle. So this past Monday was the Met Gala. And you know, with the Met Gala, you've got a lot of celebrities dressed up in their wares for the whatever the theme is for the Met Gala, and you know it's all about gawking at the rich, but then it's also a gala, so it's making money for the Met, rich being the rich, blah blah blah. So apparently the cool spot to be at the Met was the women's bathroom. A lot of y'all have probably seen the selfie that like Kylie and Kendall Jenner have of like A$AP Rocky and Diddy and all these different celebrities all in the bathroom like taking selfies. But apparently, as well as taking selfies, they were also smoking cigarettes and vaping and smoking other things in the bathroom. And the donors of the Met are pissed. They are livid that this shit is going down, that this is happening. They are upset with the Met. And I am like, I'm loving it and hating it all at the same time. Like, I'm loving that the celebrity is like, we can do whatever we want. And to just see them having this fun and then like having like these old crusty white people being upset about it. Like, that makes me laugh. But then I'm also like, God damn it, celebrities. Can you guys, at the very least, respect this institution? Like, I'm kind of, like, pissed off with them because, like, I do care about the art that's there. And I even though I doubt that some cigarette smoke in a bathroom is going to affect some of the masterpieces that are there, it's still, you know, like, my art nerd is like, shame on you for doing this. But then I'm also like, fuck you guys, because some of the things that the donors are saying about the celebrities are just showing their classism, their racism, all their bullshit. I mean, it comes to the point of with one person saying, quote, the gala now it's all thugs and drugs. So like, F that person, you can go to hell. Like, I want fucking Diddy to blow on, like, blow directly into your face some smoke. Like, I don't give a heck, I don't give a fuck about these people at that point. So it's just like the juxtaposition of like, you want these celebrities for the cachet and the attention that it brings to your institution to have this gala and have these people there, but then you're going to call them thugs and on the other breath, like, you're going to take their money, whatever donations that are given from these people, because I'm assuming that a lot of the people there, they do have to pay at the same time, and they are giving their money to be a part of this evening. So it's just all effed up. And it's been, like, there's been, like, discussions I've been seeing in some of my nonprofit Facebook groups about it, and they're all like, what does this mean for us and being a donor and, like, having to do with the public relationships of, like, having these celebrities care about our cause, but then also having to reprimand them for, you know, it's just, like, whatever. It's just, again, rich people. It's a, you know, it's all issues for the rich, so it's funny to laugh at.
I was about to say, none of y'all work at the Met, or you wouldn't be in this Facebook group, so...
Right. I mean, I think...
It doesn't affect you.
It doesn't affect them at all. Like, and you don't have celebrities trying to come to you. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what all these all the people inside of these groups, what companies that they work for or whatever, but... It just made me... I was just like, why are we smoking in the bathroom? Why did the bathroom become the cool place? Why does this feel so high school right now? Like, but I mean, the ones that are ruling it or that are, like, in the center of it aren't famous for anything. Between the Jenners, the Kardashians, and Paris Jackson up in there. Like,
I saw that. All right. Yeah. I really have nothing to say about that. That's how the 1% lives, and I don't exist in that world. I'm over here on the margins. I don't know what that's like. I don't know her. That wasn't funny, I know, but I'm tired. All right. Another episode.
Yep, that's Black Girls Laughing, episode 42. What? In the can. Boom.
42. You can find us on the internet at BLK Girls Laughing with no G on Twitter, on facebook.com/blackgirlslaughing, at our website blackgirlslaughing.com. You can email us at blackgirlslaughing@gmail.com. We're on SoundCloud, we're on Stitcher, we're on iTunes, which is where you could leave us an awesome review, even if it's just stars. You don't have to put any words. You can find us on our personal Instagrams. I'm B, and you can find me at B-E-E-K-N-I-G-H-T-L-Y. I use my story to document my workouts or when I actually do something cool, which isn't that often, or I put my photography up there, so you can check that out.
And you can follow me at Bree Hines, Bree like the cheese, Hines like the coolest people on the planet, H-I-N-E-S, Hines. Yeah, you can see me, you can see the, like, the plant-based food that I'm eating, and pictures of my husband. And then also, how about y'all share an episode that you like with a friend on Facebook?